Let's call our Monday, January 28th Planning Commission meeting to order. And Leanne, will you take the role, please?
Chair Tuttle.
Here.
Vice Chair Bowl.
Here.
Commissioner Fisher.
Here.
Commissioner Jensen.
Here.
Commissioner Rousey.
Here.
Commissioner Silva.
Here.
Commissioner Stanger.
Here.
Thank you. Now's the time we have set aside for comments from citizens. Do we have a sign-in sheet? Hi, Zach. Nice to see you.
Madam Tuttle, how are you?
Good. Thank you. We will start with Jim Swan. Go ahead and, well, we don't have a microphone, but you can say your name and address for the record. I think we probably have a little recording device somewhere.
Sure. My name is Jim Swan. Work for Bonaventure Senior Housing, 3425 Boone Road, Southeast, Salem, Oregon.
Perfect.
Okay.
Go ahead, whatever you want to testify tonight.
Yeah, I believe everyone's got a copy of the letter we sent out last Friday. Bonaventure Senior Housing develops and operates senior housing facilities that provide a mix of independent living, assisted living, and memory care, typically 160 to 170 units in size. We employ 40 to 60 full-time employees over three shifts. For the last few years now, we've been researching the Monroe market. We've identified a need for additional senior housing based upon analysis of demographics, primarily 75 and over. We've determined the demand and the current supply does not meet that demand. And furthermore, we've identified a site, a particular site. This one here, I believe you're probably all familiar with it. South side of Main Street, right at Highway 500 or 522. The last couple of years, we've been analyzing that site for use of developing a new senior housing facility. Back in 2017, we had a pre-application review meeting. Went favorable for our direction. My main concern is the zoning. I've been told that the city is looking to approve a new zone end of February or so. Currently, the site is zoned service commercial, and senior housing is a conditional use. Our concern moving forward that when the site is zoned general commercial, that senior housing may not be allowed. We would like to be seriously considered to be a permitted use. The characteristics of that site support senior housing. It's, the site's got a fair amount of slope. It's got approximately 20,000 square feet of wetlands in the center of it. There's, it's a little bit of access issues too with the street frontage where you can access the site. And we, firmly believe that based upon that site's characteristics and the demand that's indicated for the Monroe market that we would like to seriously consider to be approved for senior housing.
Thank you. Any questions from the commission? Mr. Swan? Commissioner Jensen?
Do you currently own the property or are you investigating where you
We've had negotiations for over 2 years now. We've been under contract to purchase the site, and negotiations are ongoing. So yes, we've been seriously interested in purchasing that site for a couple of years now. Part of the process and what takes so long is being approved for our use. We would not purchase that site until we are approved, and that's pending zone changes, you know, causing a little consternation if it's, if senior housing is not allowed even conditionally.
Second question is, in the letter you mentioned, you know, like the wetlands and other things that were detrimental, potentially other things, how would a senior housing development be able to avoid or mitigate those detrimental issues where some other retail could?
Well, you know, we have a far less traffic count than most commercial uses. You know, our trip count is extremely low. Residents do not drive for the most part. Mostly it's just employees and guests coming to the site. You know, I forget the exact number of trips, but it is much lower than an apartment project. The wetlands, yes, we have to work to mitigate that, and that would be approximately the 1 year process to work around that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? I have a question for staff. Oh, go ahead, Commissioner. Oh, sorry, Commissioner Stanger.
I just have a question for us. So, if this is rezoned, is there any guarantee that
this? I was gonna ask staff that question. Is the contention about the change in the zoning and the use, is that accurate, or is that?
So that's currently allowed as a conditional use in the service commercial zone. It is not allowed at all within the general commercial zone. As you know, the comp plan changes it to general commercial. So whatever's proposed for general commercial would be in effect there.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just wondering if, I guess my question is, if it's rezoned, that there's no guarantee that they would put in a senior housing, right? I mean, they could put in anything. They could put in apartments.
They being?
Anybody, whoever buys it.
Not if it's general commercial.
The only place residential will be allowed in general commercial is in the North Kelsey overlay.
Okay.
Thank you. And what is the bigger zone? We don't have the zoning map in front of us. Is there a way
to? I don't either, unfortunately. The bigger
zone. TVs are down.
I know.
Yeah.
Technology.
Yeah, the big bulk of that area is the area around Fred Meyer, the North Kelsey area. But there's also that pocket, the gateway of the city, northwest, and then this area down at 522 in the southwest.
This is actually like at the very edge of the city limits, right?
Yes.
It's almost 6 acre piece. For us, we need minimum of 5.5 acres and a good rectangular shape. This is triangular and six, so it's a little small for our needs, but we can make it work. That's why we found no other suitable sites in Monroe, you know, to meet our criteria as far as size and shape and zoning. So this is the site.
Is there any vesting in this area?
If they had a valid conditional use permit in effect, please correct me if I'm wrong. Valid conditional use permit in effect that, and they were currently working on that project. But if they were to come under this code, invest into this code, they wouldn't have the same allowance.
I feel like we talked about this at one time. So,
and if I can back it, also
yes, I would love for you to back it.
You are allowed in the general commercial zone to have skilled nursing facilities, convalescent homes. So this would be referring to a retirement community assisted living that's more residentially focused as opposed to also includes 24/7 medical care.
Okay. So. Oh, Commissioner Paul.
Thank you. I did come up with a question. Since this is a smaller site than they typically need, they need to go to 4 stories. What are our height restrictions in general commercial? Can you just remind me?
I believe it's 45 feet maximum.
Okay.
Thank you. Anybody else? Any questions for staff or Mr. Swan?
Sure.
Trying to see you down there.
Yeah, no.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you. Appreciate your input. Okay, we have no minutes to approve and no old business, so we can move on to new business number one, East Monroe Zoning Comp Plan Amendment. Thank you very much. Is that, sorry. You're Ben tonight.
Oh, sorry, I'm Ben. Ben is.
Is Ben out of town?
Ben is enjoying a well deserved vacation.
Okay.
Friends.
Yes, that's in here.
So we should text him all the time.
That's why when I texted him to see if I had a meeting with the mayor and him tonight, they didn't answer.
Yeah, he was probably on a plane when we texted.
That's okay. All right, go ahead, Shannon, thank you.
So this is just a, this is an introduction to something that you will be seeing coming in front of you very soon for public hearing. As you are aware, for the East Monroe property, the Heritage Baptist property, we have been under an order of invalidity, been out of compliance with Growth Management Hearings Board.
Shannon, will you explain what that means? Because some of us have not been here the entire time.
Would you mind?
Sure. So, Council, to kind of step back for a moment, this property has a very lengthy and complex regulatory history with the city. And I think that for purposes of this discussion, the appropriate starting point is probably 2010, when the current landowner, Heritage Baptist Church, filed a request to change the comprehensive plan land use map designation of the East Monroe site, as well as the zoning map designation of the site, from its traditional classification of limited open space to general commercial. And since then, that action by the City Council, which it has taken three times since 2012, has consistently been rejected, first by the City's Hearing Examiner and then twice by the Growth Management Hearings Board. The most recent order of the Growth Management Hearings Board was issued in the spring of 2016, and that decision essentially found the city to be in a continued state of non-compliance with the Growth Management Act mandates, as well as a continuation of a previous order or determination of invalidity that the Growth Board had entered in regards to the general commercial rezone and reclassification. From there, the property owner, Heritage Baptist Church, appealed the Growth Board's decision to Superior Court, sought direct review at the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals, after hearing oral argument and a briefing, ultimately rejected the Heritage Baptist Church's arguments.
I'm sorry?
Is this the public?
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes, absolutely.
Just want to
be
sure. Thank you.
Sorry.
That was more interesting, I'm sure.
No. No, the history is good.
Long story short, since the Court of Appeals entered its most recent ruling, it essentially terminated the judicial appeal route for that matter. The issue is essentially remanded back to the Growth Board, which then issued a new compliance schedule to the city last October, and that's the current schedule that we are operating under. That schedule requires the city to take some type of legislative action that achieves compliance with the Growth Management Act, essentially addresses the issues that the Growth Board originally found non-compliant at some point this spring. So our deadline for achieving compliance, for taking that legislative action, whatever it might be, is April 10th. By April 24th, we're required to file what's called a Statement of Compliance Actions Taken with the Growth Board. And that's essentially a legal brief explaining to the board members what steps the city has taken to achieve compliance, and then attaching copies of whatever legislation the city has ultimately adopted. At that point, all of the other parties in the original Growth Board proceeding will have an opportunity to file their own briefs, opining as to whether or not the city's recent action has in fact achieved compliance, or whether the city should still be held in a non-compliant determination. Following that, there is a compliance hearing scheduled with the Growth Board that's currently set for May 22nd. Under the current scheduling order, that hearing is intended to be telephonic as opposed to a hearing that, that requires in-person participation, but that can change. And if all parties agree that the city has reached compliance through whatever action is taken by April 10th, there's a potential opportunity for us to waive the hearing and essentially, through a stipulation of all the parties, simply submit a joint statement to the growth board. And if that's successful, that will be a little bit more efficient and save some time and resources. So bringing that full circle, the reason this is coming to you tonight is because whatever action the city ultimately takes to achieve compliance with the growth board's order is going to have to run through its GMA public participation process, of which you are the central piece as the planning commission. So whatever the city decides to do, that action will require a public hearing before you at the commission level. It will require a CEPA determination, which I believe is already done, a notification to the Department of Commerce, and then a formal recommendation after the public hearing by you to the City Council with findings and conclusions explaining the basis for your recommendation. And then the Council will take a final formal legislative action in adopting whatever ordinance comes before it. That's essentially the process in a nutshell. The Growth Board does not specify and does not provide any direction in regards to is the specific compliance approach that each jurisdiction that is found to be non-compliant must take in order to achieve compliance. So we can guesstimate through a kind of a reasoned estimate of what measures would be potentially at our disposal to achieve compliance, but we are not going to receive any sort of definitive mandate or guidance from the Growth Board there. The city is going to have to come up with its own program, its own directive, and ultimately its own method for achieving compliance.
What part of it is out of compliance?
So right now we are deemed out of compliance because the most recent enactment, a permanent enactment on the city's books for this East Monroe property was a rezone and reclassification from the previous historical limited open space designation to general commercial.
And so the general commercial is the part that's out of compliance?
Correct.
Okay.
And the, getting into the weeds a little bit, the reason that it was found non-compliant, repeatedly compliant by the Growth Board, was because the environmental analysis that was prepared in conjunction with the city's general commercial ordinances was consistently found to be deficient. And in the Growth Board's view, the environmental impact statement that the city had prepared together with the landowner applicant didn't adequately and accurately describe the potential future impacts of development on that site at the general commercial level.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any questions before we...
I have a question. So,
yes,
so
Commissioner Stanger.
Maybe just more clarification. So essentially, if somebody wants to do an environmental impact statement and resolve those deficiencies, then I guess that's one route. And the other route is we need to go back and put this to limited open space. Are those the two options?
Those are two options that would potentially achieve compliance. In terms of the time frame, the likelihood that the city would be able to conduct the type of environmental analysis needed to support the readoption of general commercial zoning and comprehensive plan land use map designation for the property within the next essentially 3.5-4 months before our compliance deadline is pretty remote. So if that's the direction that the city ultimately wanted to take, my strong assumption is that we would need to go back to the Growth Board and file a request for an extension of the compliance deadline. But to answer your question also, Commissioner, because the Growth Board doesn't give the city or any other local jurisdiction specific direction on how to achieve compliance, the two options that you just described are two potential options. They aren't necessarily the end of the story. There may be more. This hasn't been raised as a specific proposal. I think it may have been obliquely mentioned in the staff report or agenda bill for tonight, but possibility to achieve compliance might be attempting to reclassify and rezone the property to some other designation beside LOS or general commercial. I don't believe that that has generated much in-depth staff analysis because no one has actually raised that proposal, and it candidly is fairly late in the process to do so now, but at least it is a theoretical possibility as a means of achieving compliance.
Commissioner Paul.
So I just had a question for Mr. Paul. Can I just get a brief summary of our cast of characters? You said the easiest path is for all parties to agree. The court is now out.
Correct.
So we have the Growth Management Area Board, we have Planning Commission, City Council, Heritage Baptist. Are there any other interested parties?
Yes, that's a good question. And the other interested parties that are directly implicated by this proceeding are the appellants, the neighboring property owners who originally challenged the city's adoption of general commercial zoning and land use map designation for this property. They're essentially broken down into two separate groups. One is comprised of Lowell Anderson, who I understand has recently passed, and the Blair family, Brandy Blair, Misty Blair, and a few of the other members of that family. Another contingent, I believe, was comprised of Douglas Hamar.
Is that the neighboring farm?
I don't believe he had a farm. My recollection, and I don't know this for a fact, but my understanding was that he was actually a neighbor of Mr. Anderson's up on the bluff immediately adjacent to the East Monroe site. But those are the two appellant contingents, and they were variously represented throughout this process, and most recently in the Court of Appeals by a public interest law firm out of Portland, Oregon, I believe.
Okay.
But those are the cast of characters.
And is there like rules of nexus that apply? Do you have to be a direct neighbor, or are you just an interested party?
So the question really goes to who has standing to challenge this.
Okay.
And there is a somewhat complicated test for that point under the law, depending on whether you're talking about just the general standing to challenge the rezone, challenge the comprehensive plan, or challenge the SEPA determination. Generally, you do need to have some type of nexus. The city attempted to dismiss several of the appellants, back in 2013 or 2014 on standing grounds, and the Growth Board rejected that argument. The Growth Board is historically very lenient when it comes to standing issues in their attempt to try to make sure that all potentially interested parties have their day in court.
Commissioner Jensen?
So, since it was originally limited open space, is there a potential option where the city doesn't necessarily, you know, go through all this work of a new SEPA, a new stuff, just to change it back? Can they actually roll back or sort of undo what was done so that they don't have to spend all the money on new determinations and new SEPAs and all that stuff?
It's another excellent question, and the short answer there with respect to SEPA is that the city has already conducted SEPA for the process that has been proposed for tonight, the staff recommendation, which is to simply reaffirm the historical LOS designation for that property. My understanding is that the SEPA determination in this case was a determination of non-significance issued in late 2018, and that there were no comments and certainly no appeals. So essentially, that SEPA determination should be deemed immune from challenge at this point. So the only real, and I believe this is the thrust of your question, Commissioner Jensen, the only real cost at this point will be sundry staff expenses of arranging for your public hearing, preparing the recommendation and findings that you would be sending to the City Council, and then whatever legal work is necessary to file a statement of compliance actions taken.
Which we would need to do no matter what.
Correct.
No matter which plan of action happens.
And if I think I know where this is headed.
I'm just curious if there is a big undo button that either could be pressed or could happen.
I don't think it's as simply as easy as waving a wand and returning the property to its historical designation.
Okay.
If the city ultimately proceeds with a reaffirmation of the LOS zoning, that's the form of ordinance that will go before the city council be precisely that. It will be an ordinance reaffirming that the property is and continues to be limited open space and formally abandoning the current effort to reclassify that property as general commercial. And I think an important caveat there, just so the commission is aware, this doesn't mean that in the future the property owner or the city or any other interested party couldn't move to reclassify the property as general commercial or something else, because you really can't permanently bind the legislative discretion of the city going forward. What it would mean is that the current proposal by the landowner that was submitted in 2010 seeking the redesignation to general commercial would be deemed formally terminated. That would essentially be expired, would have no longer any life in it, and would no longer be processed as such.
Okay, thank you so much. Very informative. I think makes it easier to understand where we're at this point after this many years. Anne, do you feel caught up too? I just want to make sure.
Not really.
No, do you have any questions?
No, I don't.
Zach has been around for the whole entire thing, and
yeah, for the last about 10 years.
Literally.
And I've been doing this since yesterday. I'm fine.
Okay, well, just let me know, because I don't want anyone to feel like they have to make have an opinion that doesn't feel educated enough to move on. Okay, thank you. All right, go ahead, Sharon.
I just have a couple of things to add. Thank you very much. I don't have the historical knowledge
either.
But I did the agenda bill that Ben worked on. To me, actually, is someone who comes in with not very much knowledge of this street.
Well, they know a little bit more.
Yeah, this very useful. The tentative review schedule. So, if you're curious, what's coming next? The public hearing is tentatively scheduled for February 25th in front of you. And the signing of findings, if we don't have to continue the public hearing, that is, would be scheduled during a special meeting on March 4th. And then it would go to council after that and be finished before the April 10th deadline. So, are there any other questions? You'll be seeing this again. So,
Commissioner Jensen.
Are there other public hearings on that day? I'm going to have some of this new stuff we've really spent the last year on coming up to the public hearing soon.
February 11th. Different day.
So it would just be the only public hearing.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anything else? Okay. Any questions? Now's a good time again. It's nice to have the city attorney to clarify anything.
Well, I have other questions not related to this at all. We're not going there.
You have to put him on your clock later.
Yeah.
Okay. If it's okay with the commission, I just want to make sure that you didn't miss an opportunity to say something on the record.
No.
Okay, you're just here to listen. Thank you.
Yes.
Good to see you. All right, we'll move on to new business number two, the 2019 Planning Commission Work Program. And we'll turn it over. All right, Shannon, you're on again.
So this should look really familiar, almost exactly like your work program last year. I think I had to change one item. If you go to the table, well, not the Gantt chart, but the table, the first thing at the top would be the UDR. As you know, we're coming to an end with that. And the public hearing is scheduled for February 11th. Notice has already gone out, so we will see you then. And well over half of it's ready to go, so at this point, you'll have a copy of that well before the actual hearing. After that, also a routine review of land use applications. If there's something come up that the Planning Commission needs to review, this accounts for that. The 2019 Planning Commission Work Program, which you're looking at. So that could be a big checkbox tonight. Affordable housing update is going to be actually a rather extensive process of looking at our current affordable housing incentives and requirements and retooling that in a way where it's more friendly to the community and developers. So Ben just started the very preliminary stages of that by meeting with members of the community and talking about what that would look like. So that is something that will be happening later this year. And the because we're updating the code, we have to turn around and update the downtown master plan that we adopted in 2008 to match what the code says, and also to update some outdated provisions. That will be taking place this year as well. That was supposed to take place 2018. So you'll see that, and I believe the project manager on that's going to be Amy. So, and you're going to put a lot of signage. So, the Planning Commission rules and procedures, lands project, that will definitely come back. I know we've discussed that one time so far, but we need to give it a little bit more attention.
Okay.
And the Shoreline Master Program, we have a state mandated update going on presently, and Anita is the project manager on that. And she will be, I believe she was at the previous Planning Commission meeting, and she will be at more in the near future. And the last thing is to bring around the most recent comp plan docket so that you can take a look at it and do a public hearing, and we can send it to council. So that's standard procedures, annual process. We'll see a Gantt chart of the appropriate times, or appropriate, geez, approximate times. So I'm happy to entertain any questions you might have, or if anything was left off.
Thank you. I do have a question, and then I'll get Commissioner Jensen. The rules and procedures coming, that is not till, I lost it. Thank you. Not until March, which is not too far away, but it's a little far away for us to make changes or, you know, get in line with certain rules or procedures if we need to get to it before that point. But I'm wondering, when is, does the, do planning commissioners have an opportunity to ask for something to come up for discussion? Is that, I've always been in here in more of a responsive seat, but we haven't, as far as I know, really had a planning commission ask planning or ask council to allow a discussion on any particular topic. I'm wondering how that works.
So this is your time.
This is tonight. Okay.
Yeah,
that's why I don't want to wait till March.
Yeah, that's, this would be, especially if you want something else to be added to this timeline right now, is it? This would be the time to ask.
Like right now, tonight? Because I don't think people probably have had any opportunity to think about what.
We're bringing it back to the next meeting.
Okay, so perfect. And is it, can it just be one commissioner? Do you need to have agreement from a certain number of commissioners? Is it something that gets voted on by the commission to put something on the work plan?
So, previous jurisdictions where I've worked, there has not been a formal vote on that, although the it would be perfectly acceptable. But usually people have sort of brainstormed their ideas and they've coalesced into different areas. So it's been pretty easy to pick apart.
And what point in a nightly agenda would be a time to brainstorm amongst ourselves? Would that be during discussion time or?
When it would be during the agenda item. It would be, if you're talking about.
Oh, at that time, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So
when it comes back next week?
Yes. Then.
And would it be appropriate for anyone to email you directly with their thoughts?
If we get them before the meeting, they can be
part
of the packet.
Okay, so I just want to put that out there if there's anything of concern or anything that you think you want to talk about this year that isn't already on here. Try to get it to Shanna maybe by Wednesday, but then we can talk about it as a group. We can have an open discussion at that time too.
Do we have a meeting next week?
I don't know.
Actually, no.
Or at the next meeting, right?
We are back to our normal meetings, the second and fourth Mondays of the month, with the exception of March 4th in the immediate future.
Okay,
so not next week.
So not the 4th, but the 11th and the
5th. Correct. Correct.
Yeah. So we'll be seeing it again on the 11th.
Yeah, which is also the UDR public hearing, but there will be time to discuss
okay.
that.
So would the 6th be a good time for people to get emails in to allow you to get it on the agenda?
That'd be fantastic.
Okay. And if there's nothing, that's fine too, but if there's anything that you want to look at.
Or if we don't think of it until the 11th.
Right, then we can totally talk about it on
yeah.
That, and that was my only question. Go ahead, Commissioner Jensen.
Kelton, one, I see a gap in the schedule on the color chart. I assume that is Memorial Day?
Yes.
And would we be doing another schedule now that we would just take a day off?
Yes.
On this list, and maybe just the way things have developed with the UDR, it got done completely instead of partially.
Mm-hmm.
But one time we were told we were just going to get to touch and slightly tweak the sign code, and then it was going to come back later for a big total redo.
Yes.
Did we end up doing the full redo, or is there still a sign code thing lurking in the wings?
There will be, it will come back to you, it will likely be 2020. So, 2020.
So we did enough to it this time with the UDR that we didn't have to do the second half of it,
yes.
You know, 2 months later kind of thing.
That's my understanding at this point.
Okay, that's why I wonder why I didn't see it here, but I guess we sort of wrapped it up good enough.
There are other elements involved in that update that, to be totally honest, haven't happened yet. So the city administration is looking into the best way to proceed with that update because we have to do it, but there are other deadlines involving code enforcement that are coming into play. And so I know that Deborah was talking to Ben about when that will take place, and it will. It's just probably not going to be 2019.
Okay. I see we're doing downtown master plan update.
Mm-hmm.
Are there some of these other little master plans, like North Kelsey or any of these others, that we're going to have to look at as a whole plan or not?
As far as I know, this is the only one that's coming back right now. That doesn't mean that none of them will, but because
okay.
North Kelsey seems like a logical one that might
be all the changes.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner
Bolt. So I just have a question about dates. I see tentative dates, but is there any, or do we as a commission not worry about deadlines? So
yeah.
Is there a firm deadline that you keep internally that you worry about, or should the planning commission know about the deadline?
Well, we try to maintain some flexibility with these larger projects, as you know from UDR experience. So as far as which of these actually have a deadline legally, the S&P, the update for the Shoreline Master Program, is that one is the summer, so that will have to be done.
Okay.
But other than that,
deadlines if there's a deadline?
I think I like the size of this just
mm-hmm. Well, just
different,
you know, the
color differentiation or
yeah.
You know, yellow, red, orange, red, or
sure.
You know, something.
Well, of course, you know April 10th is a deadline.
Whatever's easiest for you to, you know, or we could just include it in the cell, say, you know, tentative date, deadline date, that kind of thing. Just
yeah.
So we, you know, if we have to stay till 10 on a night, we'll know why. It's because there's a deadline.
Makes sense. Yeah, I can add any hard deadlines to this, if that would
be great.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you.
Sure.
Good question. Anything else?
Okay. I'm done.
Oh, Commissioner Jensen.
I was checking the calendar. I was wondering if planning ahead, we should just plan to drop December 23rd because proximity to Christmas.
Fair.
And possibly November 11th might land on Dakota Veterans
Day.
Yeah,
you are correct. Yes.
So it might be a couple days there we want to change.
I can take, I'll check on the 11th, but I can definitely check off the 23rd.
Okay.
So
I was checking, I figured how to do it. Yes, Veterans Day is officially the 11th.
Okay, then we'll take those off. And also there is I know that there is a reference to 2018 on the table, sorry. I just saw it when we walked in here.
Well, and also May 27th is probably Memorial Day.
It's already gone.
It's already
is.
Okay.
Yeah. It's on my calendar.
It's already got it in this one.
Got it, okay.
Color.
Yeah.
The other one with a hard deadline would be the comp plan docket. So that has to be done by the end of May 2019. So this actually gives a little bit more flexibility.
Does the comp plan docket come down from the council?
It does, yes. Okay. They've selected the docket, so you hold a public hearing and recommend what should be approved by council, if the docket should be approved or not. We send that to council, and they make a decision, and then we start the process over again.
Okay, great. Well, that's really all that we have done. We're not used to this. Dave, were you here just for that?
Yes.
Okay, you came.
I'll stay as long as you want.
I have a question about what the subject that our guest was here to speak about, and is it too late in the game to look at that and talk about it, or?
It would have to change. Actually, I'm glad the city attorney's here all of a sudden.
It's basically an allowable use question.
It's not, obviously nothing in the code is said. It's not approved. It's, council hasn't even seen it yet, formally. But if that is something that's of interest, if that's a use that you would be interested in including in general commercial,
I just like to, if someone comes to talk, I like to at least give it a look. Mm-hmm. Because I don't remember why maybe we made a decision on a use. Because I'm not looking at the chart, I'm not looking at the other, the list of other items. But I don't want to belabor the process that we've gone through either. But if there is a minute to... that's just me, I don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
I believe it was just to set aside land for commercial uses, and that's what they didn't want to allow for residential uses in that particular area.
Well, and I was thinking, and we probably don't have this history, I wonder if general commercial always didn't have it, and it's just a process that because of switching from service commercial to general commercial, it's just caught in that, no longer permitted. And I was kind of looking at this letter as we were talking before you got up. I started thinking in my mind about that corner, and I think probably what was hoped in that corner was more retail kind of things, or a couple of fast food places right off the freeway, which is typical. I was a little bit disappointed with his answer when I asked him how his development would be any easier to mitigate that wetland if it's right in the middle. Versus, let's suppose a couple of fast food places wanted to go in there. He didn't seem to have a good answer, so I don't know if I would be any more interested in trying to adapt to his need for this property, because I sense that anything probably still could go there just fine, just nobody has really looked at it yet. The economy and the market just hasn't been there yet, so. In my personal feeling, I would not feel the need to change or add that type of use to general commercial.
I'm definitely not proposing that we looking at it just to remember where we're at, only because we've gone through so many different zone and use changes that we've had quite a few times along the way where someone has said, well, you have this whole zone, but then there's this one little piece that maybe, So I wouldn't mind looking at it. Doesn't mean that I am saying, hey, let's change that, but
just open for discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it would be a big, if you change it, you can't do spot zoning, so now the whole general commercial.
Right, and I would like to see what that whole picture is like,
But if it was on the east side of 522, that would be mixed use and it would be allowed there.
I believe so. I have it here.
We're without our technology and stuff tonight, so it's hard to
make. Just not the best move ever. So that would be, that's general mixed use across.
Right, so if they're, where the Chevrolet dealership is, they could build in on that corner.
I believe that is an allowed use. Yes. So we can find. Yeah, perfect. Yeah, because it's, obviously residential uses are more encouraged, and yes, so retirement housing, assisted living is allowed in general mixed use, or would be, and is currently.
If possible, just a little picture of what that whole zone looks like and what the uses are would be awesome.
The current uses or the?
What the, what we're proposing.
Yeah, I think it was like a little bit, kind of a cluster of general commercial, like it is up at the north end by Highway 2.
Yeah.
I just want to picture in my head what the, what that might, what the concept might look like if. Who's going to ask what?
Heather's question.
Commissioner
Rousey's question.
Well, this whole discussion just brought to mind that area, the Fisher Towing area, and there had been an application for a multifamily unit. There. Is that
160 units?
That's still in process, right?
River's Edge? As far as the near Fisher Towing.
Yeah, the other town.
Yes, that one is still under review by staff, and Benny does the planner on that one. Okay. So, yeah.
Okay, well, that being said, we will do discussion. Shannon, do you have anything that you need to bring up?
No, just look at the time.
No.
That's all I have for this evening. So.
Okay, Attorney Lowell, anything?
Nothing. It's always good to be here. Nice to see you all.
Thank you. Nice to see you,
Thank
too.
Thanks.
Leanne?
I do have something. Director Swanson just wanted me to let you know that the Washington paid family and medical leave law that went into effect this year, for every one of your meetings for the $75 that you're making, 19 cents is going to be coming out of your paycheck to go into that fund. The city is going to be paying 11 cents per $75. I just wanted me to give you a heads up. So in case you notice your 19 cents.
I think by law, you had to inform us of that.
So by next year, we might have to approve 30 minutes of leave time or something?
Probably not.
I do not know how it works exactly, but I have a summary you're welcome to read after the meeting.
I don't know about family.
All right, Commissioner Stanger, have you had a Parks meeting?
We have, yeah. Let me see if I can bring that up here. So we did have a Parks Board meeting. We went through a draft work plan, just like we're doing here for Planning Commission.
What does that look like?
Really busy. Yeah, really, really busy.
How about a couple highlights?
Well, the biggest thing is Heritage Tree Program, I would say. That was another thing we talked about. I can't remember all the details on the work plan.
I figured something might have excited you.
Not really.
I can't wait to do that.
No, not really. what I actually like, though, actually in the work plan, is that we did is we actually go and visit different parks. Mm-hmm. You've probably done that before.
Yeah. We only made it through three of them because the weather was bad.
Yeah, so I really enjoy that when we do that. And we talk about potential changes or whatever. I don't know if you guys know, but there is a, I think it's called something Snohomish County.
You're talking about the
Parks
Board for Snohomish County,
that's
been
multi-park? Yeah, but it's called, it's essentially a legislative one. We can do bonds and those kind of things.
It's a three-person body that owns points.
How we got Sky River Park and Multi Park was through the last place was created for that. And so we're looking at our six-year plan and some improvements that we want to make. We're looking at to just spread it. The nice thing is you spread it out through your whole tax bracket, or not tax bracket, but you're taxing through more residents than just McGraw. People that use the park aren't necessarily just Monroe people. So anyway, I can't remember what it's called. East County
Park Board.
Park Board, yeah.
It overlays with the school district.
Right, yeah, it's exactly the same boundaries in the school district, yeah. So there were some things on there about that going into the other parks. We did review some of the heritage tree nominations. There were quite a few, actually. One of them that I thought was really interesting and the whole history of it. Is a tree that can only be created, I guess, through grafting. So there's no seeds to it, and it comes from Scotland. And it's the roots, it looks opposite. It looks like it's got roots on top, and then flowers on the bottom.
Where is it?
I'm trying to remember exactly where it is, but it is a cool tree.
history of it. It's how that original tree came to be in Scotland. And so every tree in the world that type of tree comes from Scotland, directly from Scotland. Trace it back.
Who's doing most of the nominations? So just residents or organizations?
Yeah. And I think we're going to select a whole bunch this year, right? There's going to be, you know, probably as many as we think are valid we're going to accept, because we want to get as many as possible so that we can start doing tours and walking
tours. Yeah, have a program.
Have a program. But I was surprised at some of the histories that people put in there, so I'm glad we're doing it. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we're doing it. And then they talked about the Lake Tai all-weather field update, so they gave us the latest rendition of that, how that will look, which is nice.
What's the time frame on that?
So I think that they turned over to start getting the architectural work done this year as they get the remaining funding that's necessary this year. They start working on it next year, and it's done in 2022. Mm. Yeah, it would be really nice. It would be really nice. So those are the things that we talked about specifically. Oh, Stanton Meadows Park too. So we reviewed that park. There's a $200,000 improvement need there. That would be one thing that goes into the, you know, the six-year plan that they would try to get funding for, which is a bond and a levy and, you know, all that kind of stuff that typically happens with those kind of improvements. So, and if you want those improvements, I think I have those here. Let's see here.
Do we have to, does Commissioner Singer have a 2 or 3 or 4 year liaisonship?
Well, yeah, that's actually another thing that I brought up too with them, is that there's a possibility that they could have if there was somebody else wanted to serve on the Parks Board, you know.
Yeah, do you know, is there a term?
I do not know, but I can see if I can look it up.
It seems like there. I did it once.
I mean, I only done it a year, but yeah. It's a yearly thing, then I let them know that.
If it's a yearly thing, I would say, let's.
Like I told them, if there's somebody else on the planning commission that wants to serve on it, then they can. I mean, I'm not going to stop them, but if there isn't anybody, I'll continue.
Yeah.
When are your meetings?
Thursday every month.
But it's a public meeting, so you can also go without being a liaison if you just are curious.
So the improvements are surface drainage, loop trail, and new play facilities. Half of that is, I think, kind of a wetland. It's not usable. And so it would take, the improvements would make it usable. So when you're looking at this picture here, this half isn't even usable. Mm. Over here on this side. That's where you see goats sometimes in there. Even on the they put goats in there before. I don't know what we're growing by there. And then the annual maintenance costs are $50,000. So anyway, we have more park land. Or more square footage of park in a row than most cities. I mean, we have a lot. And I think that's why they're hiring new positions. I think there's 2 open positions, right?
2 new positions.
2 new positions as well.
Yeah, it's a lot. That's why we look at those little pocket parks. And
yeah, one of them is kind of, I almost want to put it like a travel and tourism kind of job. I think it's somebody that's really good at doing events and.
Yeah, there's an events coordinator and a parks planner.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because of the 2 positions. But so I was really glad to hear that the city council approved those 2 positions, because Mike Farrell has just been doing double duty, triple duty for a long time.
Our parks department works really hard.
Yeah, so I was glad to see that we're getting at least up to where similar cities would. Similar number of parks, you know, staffing that's similar. And also, you know, I see some really cool things happening, you know, with the theater, the movie in the park, and there's just so many things I think that they've done really a good job with, mm-hmm. that we want to keep those kind of events going, and I think that's one of the jobs, is to help facilitate and bring in more of those kind of events.
Sure.
So, anyway, questions on the parks?
No, I just would say thank you for, you know, sure, going to the meetings and representing the planning commission there and bringing back informative reports and being engaged in that.
Yeah, I really like the whole board, and there's one new board member. Some gal had been on the board for like 10 years or 15 years, and she's finally called it quits. So there's a new person on the board. But other than that, everybody's still the same.
Great, thank you.
Yep.
Commissioner Bull?
Nothing for me.
Commissioner Silva?
Nothing for me.
Commissioner Shenson?
I'm sort of sad I won't be able to ask my typical, what's happening with East Monroe for much longer.
There for you.
I should ask if anything's been applied for.
There's still numbers, yeah, you can still do that.
No. Nothing in Alfred's.
Otherwise, nothing.
I had some.
Commissioner.
Well, we got scared.
She jumps to the party and goes back.
I'm sorry, I missed you. Then I don't forget anyone, and then I'm last. Clever, thank you. Commissioner Rossi, anything for us tonight? Okay, go for it.
Actually, Commissioner Silva and I were in Olympia on Thursday.
Oh, we saw your pictures.
Oh, what'd you do?
They're finishing 522.
Yeah, we are. We're getting our own papers now. We went down to speak in front of the transportation committee about their proposed package, and the back of 522 is on there, and the bypass for 522 and $1.65 billion worth of stuff for San Luis County in general. So I basically just said, you know, thanks for considering it, and I'm urging you to move it forward, because they can give it legs and they can put it on. They can put it forward with the bill, and they can get some discussion on it, and I don't know if funding it, whatever. So anyway, that was an interesting day, and I just left the city council their retreat plan, and they're starting to talk about vision, which you and I had talked about before, and the lack of it, the lack of definition of it. That's something that we can hang on to and then put all the
I like it.
So anyway, some good discussion was happening.
Good, and thanks for always, you know, staying informed on council and keeping us surprised. And thanks for going to Olympia.
I was over to that.
She was pretty honest.
Just say no problem. Thank you, no problem.
It was a real time class, yeah. We were supposed to say. Yes. Not that I was
always there. My civic duty. It was a good day. Yep. Anything else, Commissioner Rossi?
If that's enough.
I'm ready for your speech.
I don't really have much. My trees are on the heritage.
Yeah, you have some nominations.
We'll see what happens. Okay. That was just one I want to bring up. And then
thanks for that support, by the
way. Oh, for sure. Well, so can we quit harassing me? And then those of you that don't know about the HPAC thing that's going on with the city, right, the homeless policy assessment committee. If you guys don't know about it, there's an application that's not available at City Hall to be on a 9-to-11 person committee. I will be applying as well. Be appointed by the mayor. 9-to-11 people on the committee.
For homeless
and how I, advisory. So how I understand it is just that.
It's an ad hoc.
An advisory committee that will look at some of the things that we have going on and
make some recommendations.
Advise recommendations, and hopefully work together with the advocates and the nonprofits that we have, and so that it can be a little bit more streamlined.
That's right, needed. I keep hearing that people come in and give like big, huge PowerPoint presentations on the problem and this and that, and whatever, and then they're like, okay, I've got somebody, you know, over here that's, you know, camps out on my doorstep. How can we help them today?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody just kind of looks with starry eyes.
And then they
give all these presentations and everything, but they don't.
You know. Well, because there's no plan, so there has to be.
Well, that's what we need. That's
formalizing of the system for sure.
Well, and it's a huge thing. It's not just us. It's the surrounding areas too. To have 30-day plan, 90-day plan, 120-day plan, 5-year plan. We have to have some kind of a plan instead of, you know, I heard a lot of stuff of, you know, tiny homes and all of that. And, this discussion's gone, okay, well, who do you allow in there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, family boys, males, females, all the above, with pets, without pets, can they be using, do they have to be clean? Like, it goes on and on.
Anyway, I heard San Diego's got it, is way far ahead of most cities on how they deal with homeless. So I don't know all the details, but you guys should investigate San Diego.
Well, there's no committee yet, so.
No.
Feel free to.
And that's why I asked about the parks, because these are gonna be the first Thursday of every month.
In morning.
And this is the third Thursday.
So they're taking applications now?
Mm-hmm.
I know my father-in-law's interested in that.
Yeah, down, I think it's on the website.
He goes to a lot of the meetings and things like, he's all pretty tired, but he might wanna serve on that.
Yeah, it's all on there. So, that's what I have.
Thank you.
Catawba can do the best.
Just saying.
What's the best?
Catawba.
Hashtag Catawba trees.
Yeah, I really.
There's a lot of it. Yeah, and there's also, the other thing that is going around that I don't know if everybody knows about is James Palmer.
Sorry.
James Palmer, the city consultant for economic development, or he's been identifying inventory of empty spaces and sizes and rents and all of that stuff. James, yeah, what else does he do? He kind of advocates, he tries to connect with businesses that may want to come in and do a lot of hand-holding, yeah, connecting with the business owners.
Helping people start up, what you need, yeah. What should you do, what it is you consider.
Mm-hmm. And he has, there's a newsletter that is on the city website, but it just went up. We got it emailed, but he specifically said Leanne got it up on website. Do you know what newsletter I'm talking about?
No.
It was not me. Oh, okay.
Maybe Pam? Yeah. I can look into it and send it out,
oh, no,
but I did
no,
not.
Okay, it's just that's between the homeless ad hoc committee, the economic development advisory group, the newsletter, the hashtag 522. There's a lot going on, and the city's in a good. Has a good momentum for action and lots of places to be involved in. I think it's great, and I think, you know, communicating with people like our fathers-in-law who might want to be involved, or our coworkers and neighbors, there's a lot. It's good. We've been part of a good year and looking forward to the next one. Anyway, it's very. Well, we made it past 8. That was what I was hoping.
Now
so, and Zach, it's unless there's anything else, I will entertain a motion to adjourn. Thank you. There's a motion on the table to adjourn by Commissioner Jensen. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Rousey. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0.
Yes.